This is the WFG National Title Insider Report, your weekly download on the market, featuring industry experts, thought leadership, and what's trending to keep you informed and ahead of the market. In this download, we focus on fraud during the COVID-19 crisis and how West Protect can assist your agency with cybersecurity issues. We welcome Bruce Phillips, Senior Vice President and Chief Information Security Officer at West, a Williston Financial Group company. Bruce, thanks for joining us. Interesting times for us, to say the least, here. And it appears that fraud reports are increasing during this time. Maybe bring us up to speed on what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's interesting what we're seeing. It's sort of twofold, and that is because of the changes, the way we're working from home, the way we're having to get out of the office, everything is changing. Nothing is normal. That sort of puts it in a sort of a perfect storm when it comes to social engineers. They're looking at this as an opportunity. And it was really interesting, about 3-4 weeks ago, the FBI came out and said that they have seen a daily 4x increase in the number of reports to IC3.gov, which is interesting when you think that on average, the estimate is only 40% of things are reported to the IC3 website. The numbers then get really staggering when you're looking at going from 1,000 reports a day to IC3 to 4,000 reports a day, and that's only 40% of what you're seeing.
Yeah, it's interesting you note that, and obviously this is because we have a large portion of workforce at home now, right?
Yeah, it is. It sort of puts everybody out on an island a little bit. You're in your home office. For those that have school-age children, you're trying to homeschool. You're now a teacher. You're now, doing your job. There's a lot of distractions. And thinking about what you need to do for work starts to start slipping back a little bit. And then you take into account that, we tell everyone that as a security professional, if something looks out of the ordinary, question it. Well, today, everything looks out of the ordinary. So you sort of get numb to, do I question this or not? The out of the ordinary is now the new normal. And so it makes it much easier for someone to get you to do something you normally wouldn't want to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. Talk about credential theft and ransomware, malware. I know all of this stuff on the rise, correct?
Yeah, all of it. And once again, you now have a perfect opportunity for a criminal. You have a topic that everyone wants to know more about. It's COVID-19. What's going on? What's happening? What are the latest statistics? And so that's the new end for criminals. They're using the same techniques, of trying to get you to give them your username and password so they can attempt to log into your network or to your social media accounts. But now they have a built-in lure to get you to click in. It's called COVID-19. And one of the biggest things that hit was there's a really good map that shows what's happening worldwide with COVID-19, and it was created by the Johns Hopkins University. Well, criminals figured that people really wanted to get there, so they created their own, made it look like the ones from Johns Hopkins, and they targeted all Android users, and there were hundreds of thousands of Android users that were compromised. Credentials were stolen, data were stolen, simply by getting that bogus COVID map onto their machines. And it happens, for traditional malware, right? One of the things that help deliver these fraudulent emails are botnets. Well, how do you get a botnet? Well, you get somebody to click a link and you install malicious software, which is the bot software. That's gone up because people are wanting to know more and more and more about COVID-19 and what's going on. And then ransomware is the low-hanging fruit. If I can get you to click on the link, then I can take over your system. I can encrypt all of your data, and then I can sell it back to you in effect. And one of the interesting things that they're doing now is they're actually taking the data before they encrypt it for you. And while you may pay the ransom, they are using that data against you. And if you don't pay the ransom, they'll sell it to your competitors or anyone else that'll pay for it. So there's a golden opportunity for criminals, and they're taking advantage of it. And one of the things that happened early on is some of the organizations that run these things came out and said, well, because of the pandemic, we're not going to do ransomware. And within a week of that statement, there were several large organizations that were held hostage from ransomware. So the answer came back, well, what we really meant to say was, we're going to reduce the cost of buying your data back. So we'll give you a 50% discount during the pandemic. So if they can reduce their cost and continue to do this and go after things like companies that are working for cures and other things, it's going to keep coming.
Bruce, follow up to that. We have a wide audience of independent title agents across the country. And, you know, our industry certainly more, I would say, aware of these issues than maybe other industries just because of wire fraud and, you know, dealing with fraudsters literally every day. That said, do you feel like maybe sometimes we get lulled into a little bit of complacency because of that?
Yes, and because of what's going on. There's so much change going on. Nothing is as it was. And so it's hard to pick out the things that are not normal. And that's what the fraudsters are hoping to do, right? Is to get you to do something that's not normal. And because of all of the change and all of the things that are made it sort of a really unique environment now in closings, right? If you're trying to do settlement, how are you going to do it? Do you have people come into your office? Do you go to their home? Do you meet them someplace else? And now we have this, you know, I don't know which one you want to, you're familiar with, Ron, Avon, Rick, EIEIO, all of these video closing things that people are trying to do have really turned the process on its end, on its side, right? And that's the opportunity that everyone has, as far as the criminals, to sneak in and make it seem like it's part of the new process, and it's really not. And so that one of the things that we're seeing is there has been an uptick in fraudulent wires, successful fraudulent wires. We've seen a massive uptick in the attempts for wire fraud. In informal discussions with other people in the industry, we're seeing probably a 6-time increase in the attempt of fraudulent wire fraud, and probably a 2 to 3 times increase in the success rate. And that's all because everything has changed, and I can't stress this enough. Everyone feels like they're on an island. They don't have anybody right there next to them, you know, in the office to say, hey, this doesn't look right. You don't have that. So you're on your own. And so communication and being a little skeptical is the most important thing, and not having that, you know, instant feedback you can get from a trusted advisor is also adding to the problem.
Yeah, I want to ask you more about that in a sec, but before we talk about that, you mentioned video closing and, you know, a fraudster being able to get in that channel, but there's also the, additional management now of protecting and storing those closing video files, right? I mean, these are big files.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges, right? One, they're big files. And 2, depending on how it's done, Not only does it have the entire conversation that went on through the closing, it also potentially has a video of the actual document itself. So now you have two things. In some systems, they actually have two different videos, right? One of the signing, one of the document. And now you have two things to protect, right? You have the conversation that's going to have a potentially a lot of sensitive information in it. And then you have the actual document in a picture format that has tons of sensitive information in it. And then you need to take a look at, well, why are we doing this as a video? And it's, you know, to help prove or reduce fraud. Well, then how do I protect that video from being altered after the fact? And so there's a lot of things that go into, you know, this video notarization or video closing that we're just not really thinking through. We sort of have it in the back of our minds, but we're trying to get the process to continue. And now you have very large video files that contain sensitive information that you need to protect, and you need to make sure they're not modified in any way, all at the same time while you're trying to deal with everything else that's going on during this pandemic. It's one of the things that I think we just need to think about how we're doing it. And one of the things that, you know, early on people were saying, well, can I use Zoom to do a video closing? Well, it's probably not the best idea at the time because there was issues with what they did. Now, credit to Zoom, they did a great job of hardening their product, but they still don't have sort of the issues that you have to deal with long-term storage. Because how long do you have to keep these videos? In some cases, it's called life of loan. That can be 30 years. And those are very large files. So where do you put them? And I'm sure somebody like Zoom doesn't want to keep all that stuff around forever. And then how do you put them in a secure place, keep them secure, and make sure they've never been altered, which is another thing that they don't do. They don't give you this cryptographic signature that says, if this signature doesn't match, somebody has altered the video. And so those are some of the things that we're not thinking about. And there's so much change going on in this remote closing, video closing world. It's going to be challenging for a while.
No question about that. Now, you talked about, you know, certainly the shift to work from home. And I know it depends on the office. There are many escrow officers, closing agents, attorneys around the country who certainly still have to go into the office here and there. And social distancing in place and other factors, drive-through closings, et cetera. But you know, you talk about being on an island, and you know that's what's been really interesting, I think, for a lot of folks in this industry are so used to being in the office, as you mentioned, and having a colleague or a manager close by within shouting distance to say, hey, there's an issue here. I just had this happen. But you take that to a home environment now, and you obviously remove that, and it creates that barrier in reporting. And you feel like maybe that if something does happen, someone clicks on something or there's an issue, that maybe they're quite honestly embarrassed, right? And, you know, the whole reporting of that may be an issue in and of itself, right?
Yeah. Thank you for bringing up my worst nightmare. But you're 100% correct, right? Even, you know, in our industry, we can't go 100% work from home, right? Because of, you know, the way we get information and the way we send information, you know, couriers and everything like that. You know, you're not going to have couriers running around to each individual's house. And so you sort of try to centralize that. But then you have all these, you know, social distancing requirements. So you have to effectively reduce the amount of people in your office by 50% or more to meet some of those requirements. And then you had it right on the head when you said people are working from home. Now they're on that island. And one, they may not recognize it. They're going to make a decision and move forward because they don't have, you know, the sort of group think that you have in an office. And that's where part of the problem comes in. And I just read an article about a study that was just completed on working from home, and it was in the U.S. and the U.K. And part of the challenge becomes the core of the article was that 48% of employees are less likely to follow safe data practices if they're working from home. And you go through the article and you start looking at it and you go, well, it's not people are frankly trying to be malicious or to get around things, which that is part of what's in the article. But it's simply because, as they said, IT's not here, security's not here. So I just make my best judgment and I go. And I hope I'm right. That's sort of a paraphrase, but that's what it looks at. And so that's the challenge with being on an island. It's training and awareness, one. But you're not going to train everyone to be a security professional to recognize all of these different things and the different attacks that are now happening. And, you know, it's we're putting employees, we're putting the average worker on, you know, on the front line. And, you know, in some cases, we're not giving them the ammunition they need to help us protect our customers. And so that's part of the challenge with this new normal of people working from home. It's been really interesting to watch from my perspective as we, you know, rapidly move people from working from home to a group of people who in their careers have never, ever worked from home before. And within a matter of a few days, we said, now you have to work from home. And so there's been a really interesting dynamic that goes on is how do you enable that? And how do you make sure that they're just as comfortable with what they're doing or as productive as what they're doing while at the same time being safe? You know, thinking of things about when you print, if you print things out at home, do you have a good shredder or are you just throwing it in the trash? Things that you would not do in the office because you have shred bins or you have really good shredders, you don't have at home. And you have to start thinking through that and then asking questions instead of just saying, oh, it's okay. No one knows I'm working from home. So no one's going to go through my trash and find these things. So it's really interesting. And I think that's the new challenge that we have to put up with is how do we enable the workforce? How do we give them the information that they need? And do you have a method for your employees to rapidly reach out to security professionals that can give you advice quickly so you can continue your business?
And speaking of advice, that's what we want for our audience with this podcast. So many independent title agents don't have a Bruce Phillips. They're relying on a manager or a leader in the office. What advice do you have for the independents out there that rely on WFG and West for those resources in terms of, you know, counseling or advice in this situation? If you had to wrap this up, what would you tell them?
This is going to sound like a commercial, but I would tell them to look into West Protect. West Protect is the only cybersecurity help desk that exists. We put this together specifically for things like this. We did this way before the pandemic, and it's been really helpful for WFG agents that are, you know, if you're interested in about it, please reach out to your WFG sales agent. They can give you all the information. But it's communication. It's recognizing that things are different than that they've ever been. And, you know, you got to find a way to not be on that island, which is one of the things that we've actually, it's sort of coming to the end of things winding down, but we've actually been giving our help desk portion of West Protect, basically giving it away free for real estate agents and for title agents.
Thanks to Bruce Phillips, SVP and Chief Information Security Officer at West, a Williston Financial Group company, for joining us. And thank you for partnering with WFG. To learn how West Protect can assist your agency with cybersecurity issues, contact your WFG rep. and to leverage the buying power of the WFG Blocks program and gain access to affordable health insurance plans, visit WFGBlocks.com.